Would you stand and hold your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's Word? Turn, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 4. Psalms, chapter 4. There is going to be a day. Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 5 paints us a picture of the day when we're taken from this earth. We learned last week Jesus is coming. Do you believe it? Amen. When we see the signs of the time like we do now, and we begin to get in distress, we begin to think, oh no, this is happening, and this seems bad, and this seems bad, and hey, I don't know what we're going to do. Understand, these things have to happen, but it's the labor pains. It's the birth pains of when our Savior is going to return. You realize we can't rise until He returns. So you're singing, we will rise, but He's got to return. And then when He takes us back in, we'll stand in front of the throne of God in awe of Him. And the Bible says that we will see the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we'll have nothing to do but praise, because everything that we went through in this world just will not matter anymore. And as a matter of fact, every circumstance, every bad experience that we had here that brought us closer to God, that's what we'll praise Him about, because eternity will be about being close to God. Sometimes we use our Sunday morning and other times to say this is when we're going to get close to God, but all of eternity is going to be about being close to God. So we won't praise Him for those good things that happened here, that great raise that we've got, that great doctor's report, that new house, that new car, when everything just seems to be fine, because those are the times that we tend not to get close to God. We go through what we call bad experiences here. And I don't know that I would have ever realized how many bad experiences people go through. But in the last 13 years here, as I look out across this congregation, I can identify your bad experience. And I don't even know about them all. But when that bad experience is happening to you, and we're crying, and we can't figure out what's going to happen, don't you know that God's working in that bad experience? Amen. He's working something good in that bad experience. The psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 4, he said, in my distress, God, you have enlarged me. In my distress, you have enlarged me. What is he saying? I want you to read the psalmist. He says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We've talked about mercy, right? We know that he was coming asking for mercy, knowing, hey, I deserve this bad experience. And understand, at this point in time, David was being chased for his life. He was being pursued by Saul to kill him. He was hiding. How in the world could he look at this with that kind of perspective and say, you've enlarged me in my time of distress? Distress, we get a common word that we know is stress today, right? We can say that's just a bad situation, it's a bad time, it's a stressful situation. You've all been through them, right? And as a matter of fact, the obvious, we've all been going through one for a while, haven't we? This stressful time that we're living in, we're talking about the coronavirus and COVID-19 and all these things, and we're looking at, hey, this bad thing is happening and this bad thing is happening. And so several weeks ago, it just seemed that the phrases I kept hearing were, I'm experiencing this hardship because of this. I'm experiencing this hardship. Or you would see someone interviewed and, hey, this is a bad experience and we're experiencing this. And there's all kind of arms that go out from this thing where people are being impacted and their experience is not good, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship-wise. How in the world could David say, in the middle of my distress, you've enlarged me? And understand, enlarged me means that you've given me room. You've given me a way out. When you hear the psalmist speak this way, he's saying that through this bad experience, you've helped me, you've grown me, and I know that you're working good. David also wrote in Psalms 34, verses 1 through 6, and we'll really be able to see his heart. I want you to read this with me. It'll just be a couple pages over for you to flip. He was going through a bad situation. Saul was trying to kill him. He was running for his life. He was hiding. But even in David's bad experience, he was praising the Lord. David knew that God was working good in his bad experience. David was praising the Lord in his bad experience. Have you ever seen such a time of negativity? Even among Christians, once we get together, we all can agree on what's going wrong, can't we? But how much praising have we done in this time? You say, well, just get real, Pastor Mike. Maybe it's not impacting you. It's impacting everybody. Just like David's life was impacting him, but David found a reason and a way, and this was put in the Word for us to be able to see, Psalms 34. Let me just read it with you. It's God's anointed Word, so let this roll off your ears. He said, I will bless the Lord sometimes. Is that what your Bible says? Somebody tell me what your Bible says. Tell me again. Tell the person beside of you. Does that mean in the good experiences and the bad experiences? I will bless the Lord. How many? How often? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He's saying his praise in the time of bad experience will be heard by others and it will make them come to the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. At the time David wrote this, he wasn't yet saved out of all of his troubles. He was running, he was hiding, he was in fear, but he knew God was working good in the middle of his bad experience. So I've been thinking about this for a while. I want us to look at how our mind works. Let's talk about experiences for a while. Have you ever heard of someone trying to get a job and they were told you need more experience? Anybody that ever happened to you in here? You need more experience. Maybe it's been you. Maybe you just haven't had enough experience at something and so you couldn't get hired. Or maybe you've heard someone advertise their business and say, we've had 20 years of experience. Or maybe they say, hey, we've been in business for 20 years. You've heard that, right? You'll see it written on the side of some trucks as they go down the road because they want you to know they've had plenty of experience. You say, well, no, you're talking about experiences and this is experience. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is you have to have experiences to have experience. Now wrap your mind around this. If that person is saying, I've got 20 years experience, and that's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Well, let's just say you have a doctor that tells you next week, I'm going to have to do surgery on you, and you're going to be my first patient. Would you rather have that doctor, or would you rather have a doctor that has 20 years experience? You would rather have the 20 years experience. Let's say you take your vehicle to a mechanic, and you ask that mechanic to fix your car, because someone told you that they've been at it for a week and they're pretty good? Or would you rather take your car to someone who has 20 years experience? So I'm just trying to get us to the place where we can see our mind. We see a lot of experience as a good thing, correct? Do you? We prefer someone who's had a lot of experience, correct? So understand that the experience that person got was not just that that mechanic had great motors set in front of them all the time and all they had to do was this. They had to actually see some that didn't go right. That doctor had to deal with some bad situations, some bad experiences that didn't go right. That's part of the experience. Bad experience is what gives you experience. If you never have to step out of what you already know, then you don't gain experience. That's why they give you on-the-job experience. Why? Not so you can see what goes right, but so that you can see what goes wrong and what to do when something goes wrong. Now, I'm trying to get you to this point because we admitted we want someone that's had a lot of experience. Now, if we want someone that's had a lot of experience, then we want someone who has also went through some bad experiences because they've learned from them. They're going to be able to help us more, correct? So, why is it that when we consider a good day as a day in which we don't experience any difficult situations that challenge us, why is it we call a good day a day that doesn't have any problems or situations? Why is that? Why is it that we think it's good for someone to have a lot of experience, but yet we don't think it's good when we have to get the experience? I'm just saying. We want everyone around us to have the experience. You see, experience comes from the bad experience a lot of times. And your bad experience, so many people will tell you, will help you a lot more in your future. You'll hear it said before, I've learned a lot more through my bad experiences than my good ones. I'll actually tell you this, and I tell married couples this sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll have a couple that comes in and they're wanting to get married and they're in love and they think they're close and they haven't really faced anything or argued or disagreed or had any trying times. And then sometimes you have a couple that's come in that's had 5 or 6 good years and all of a sudden something went wrong. And things can go wrong. Doesn't even have to be a part of the marriage. But then that couple has to go through something together. Maybe there was the loss of a family member. Maybe there was a financial hard time. Maybe it was a medical issue. Do you realize that couple grew more together in a month of bad experience than they would have in 10 years of good experiences? Why is that? Because they gained experience. Definition of experience, according to Webster, is the knowledge or feeling obtained through direct impressions. An instance of direct knowledge, the skill or judgment gained by practice. Now, it could be as minimal or as maximum as you could make it. We could say we went to a restaurant and we had a bad experience. Well, was there any knowledge gained by that? Yes. What is it? Don't go back to the restaurant. Or a little grace, you try them twice. Everybody can have a bad day. Maybe it was a vehicle that you had. Maybe it was a bad experience that you went through. And as I look out here, again, we've went through some bad experiences, right? Things to where you just cried out. Your heart was heavy. You couldn't see any good in it anywhere. And in this time we're going through now, we all say, what a bad experience, 2020. But if we think it's good for anyone who's doing a particular service to us to have plenty of experience, why do we look at the experience that we're going through as bad? Don't we think it's going to enable us to give better service to someone else or that it's going to help us? Why is it that we don't think it's a bad experience is actually going to benefit us? You know, I can honestly tell you that at the beginning of any bad experience where I say, hey, this is bad, that my natural thought is, hey, this is great. My mind doesn't work that way. I look at the bad experience and I rate the bad experience as bad. But the older I get, And the more bad experiences that I see, and the more that I see God working through them and molding and making and equipping and strengthening and using, you know, it gives me a different mindset. I began to think, even in the worst experiences, God, you're growing either me or somebody around me. You say, well, I'm not there. Well, I know I'm preaching this so we all can be there. And I want to stay there because I have an inclination to go back toward the negative mindset. Can I get a witness, anybody? And so many people do. But I want to give you God's word because it's given to us as a testimony for us. I want to tell you that God has a reason for every chapter, every verse in this Bible. Amen. You know, we rationalize everything by our own knowledge. In our own knowledge, we can't predict the next minute with 100% accuracy. But yet we rate an experience as bad or good, not knowing how it's going to turn out. We just use our knowledge and say, this can't be good. You know, when we trust our own wisdom, when we trust our own capabilities, we're never going to be able to have hope in our bad experience. But you know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5, and listen to this, words of wisdom, verse 3 and 4, Paul said, by our faith in God, it's by our faith in God that we can glory in our tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In some translations, experience may be translated character. That's okay, that falls right in line because that's what it's building. Character, what do you mean? A way to be able to conduct yourself during the bad experience. And the end of all of it? Hope. Because ultimately, isn't that why we're calling it a bad experience? Because we've lost hope in the outcome. But I don't want you to take my word for it. In the book of Genesis, you read about a young man named Joseph. When Joseph was 17 years old, his brothers hated him. They threw him into a pit. He was in bondage in that pit because they wanted to get rid of him. They couldn't stand him. They didn't just keep him in that pit. They sold him to some Midianite merchants that came by, some Ishmaelites. And they took him and sold him as a slave in Egypt. What a horrible thing. They kidnapped their brother. They told their father that he was killed by an animal. Can you imagine the hurt he felt? And then they sold him as a slave to another country. I would say Joseph had a bad experience, right? But his experience wasn't over. When he got to Egypt, he became a slave in a man's house named Potiphar. And he did very well. The Bible doesn't say he did anything wrong. But Potiphar's wife accused him of doing wrong. And you may know the story. So she falsely accused him when he had done no wrong. And Joseph was put in prison in Egypt. He was made into a slave. Then he was sold as a slave. And then he went from a slave to a prisoner slave. He went to the prison. He helped some people out in the prison. They turned their back on him. But nevertheless, he was there through that whole journey until he interpreted one of the king's dreams and was able to move into the house of the king and became basically the prime minister of Egypt. Now, if you go back and research this story, he was thrown in the pit when he was 17 years old. He was 30 years old when he became the prime minister. I'm not talking about he had a 2-week bad experience, a 1-month bad experience, a 5-year bad experience. He had a 13-year bad experience. How many times would you think Joseph would have referred to his experience as a bad experience, right? But you know, God was working. And there was a drought, famine, that came upon the house of Jacob where he lived. They had to go to Egypt. And when Joseph's brother stood in front of him and recognized, "This is our brother who we sold into slavery." I want you to know that Joseph, we come to find out, Joseph had a different mindset when he was going through his bad experience. Here I'm thinking, how ill would you be if all this happened to you in the middle of your bad experience? How negative would you be? But Joseph told his brothers this in Genesis. We read, Joseph said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people." What was he saying? Well, you see, Joseph had a great perspective. He realized his bad experience was used by God to save the lives of his brothers and their family. He knew that there would be good in his bad experience. And there was good in his bad experience. He was able to save not only the lives of his brothers, but all their families, their wives and children. And this whole nation grew out of Egypt, and the children of Jacob, the children of Israel, multiplied in Egypt until another king came. And when another king came, that king, Pharaoh, if you will, he didn't like the children of Israel. He didn't honor what was done. He put the children of Israel in slavery, in bondage. So much so that they were going through what you would call a bad experience. 400 years of slavery is a bad experience, right? But it got worse. They began to beat them. It wasn't just they were in bondage. They were in work bondage. And they didn't want them to multiply because God's blessing was still on them. They're His covenant people, so they were still being blessed even in bondage. They put out a decree that all the children would be killed, male children. Of course, we know the story of Moses, right? And so Moses was spared. And the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, as you begin to read the book of Exodus, that Moses was taken into the house of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he stayed in that house for 40 years, according to Stephen's testimony, as he gave us the timeline in Acts chapter 7. 40 years he stayed in that house, being educated in the best places, sheltered, cared for. And you would say, well, that must have been a good experience for Moses. It was, until the Bible says, we read in Stephen's account, God laid on his heart to go see his Hebrew brethren. And he did one day. And as he went and saw his Hebrew brethren out there being slaves, he saw one of them being beaten. And it bothered him so bad that he went to the defense of that Hebrew brother slave. And he killed the Egyptian that was beating him. Well, long story short, Pharaoh found out about it. Moses had to flee. He wanted to kill Moses. Sort of sounds like David, doesn't it? Running for his life. So Moses had to go to the wilderness. He was fleeing to the wilderness of Sinai, fearing for his life. The Bible says that he went from Pharaoh's house. And if you read in the book of Exodus, it tells you that he went to the wilderness and tended the sheep, met a Midian priest called Jethro, started helping him. Here, this man that had no experience tending sheep, didn't really know anything about the desert. He had lived in the palace all of his life. But the Bible tells us, and I think this is neat. You read in Exodus chapter 2. I read verse 10. It says, "And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses." When you get to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jericho, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even Horeb." You see, in one chapter here, Moses went from the palace of Pharaoh to the backside of the desert. What a bad experience. But it didn't stop there. The Bible tells us Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, the backside of the desert. 40 years tending sheep. 40 years out in the desert. Now Joseph had these years, these 13 years. Moses had 40 years. How many times do you think it went through Moses' mind? What a bad experience. If anybody could have been negative, it should have been him, right? How many times did he think back, "I was just doing the right thing"? But what a bad experience. How many days were those cantankerous sheep wandering off and having to lead them back and sleeping in a tent all the time, fearing for his life? But do you know that one day on the backside of that desert, God appeared to him, the angel of the Lord, in a burning bush and said, "Moses, I have a job for you. I want you to lead my people out." Now get this, this is ironic. Moses spent 40 years leading the people to the promised land. But God had to give him 40 years of wilderness training to prepare him before he spent the next 40 years leading cantankerous people through the wilderness. Who would know that? God would know it. Because God was bringing good out of a bad situation. And because he led those people. You see, Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. As a matter of fact, those millions of people that kept complaining about their bad situation, those millions of people that turned their back on God, those millions of people that didn't trust, didn't believe, they didn't get to enter the promised land. Only two. Joshua and Caleb. Now the children of all those people, they were able to enter. The descendants of those people that were so obstinate. And from those descendants, do you realize that God brought forth a man named David, where our story started? And David knew this same principle. Even in the bad experience, I know that God will work good. So I'll praise him in the bad experience. I'll cry out to him because he hears me. You see, this perspective that they had, well, it's not just a speech today about the power of positive thinking in the middle of a hardship or trial. I'm not giving you that today because I'm giving you God's word. But God wants us to assemble and hear his word because we are going to go through bad experiences. Jesus himself said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." And the Bible says if we're in him, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. So I'm not just giving you a perspective today. I'm giving you something to think past the moment you're in. You see, bad experiences open our eyes. They open our ears to hear God. You might have heard somebody say before, "You know, I had this bad experience and it grew my faith." Or, "When I went through this bad experience, I came to faith in Jesus." I want to tell you something. You really need to know this. It's not the experience that grows your faith. It's not the experience that initiates your faith. It's that when you go through the bad experiences, you're more likely to accept the Word of God. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't tell you that faith comes by experience. It tells you hope comes by experience. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What is he saying? He's saying that it's in your bad experience that you're willing to be open to hear the Word of God. I don't have too many people call or knock on the office door and say, I really need to talk and change some things in my life because everything is going great. Who wants to change anything when we think we're living in a good experience? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that that's somewhat of a punishment that God has on those that reject Him. He'll let them keep thinking they're good. So what I'm trying to tell you is the opposite of what you might think. It's the bad experience that the praise is in because it opens our ears and opens our eyes. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When life is full of good experiences and we're not going through a bad experience, we're less likely to be listening for God to help us, to be looking for God to help us. In order for a person to want to accept the Word of God and make a decision to come to God or come back to God or come closer to God, there usually has to be some experience, some situation that opens their heart and their mind to hear God. Can you think of your experience that opened your heart, your eyes, your mind? You see, if I'm not motivated to change anything in my life for God, I won't. You won't either. But I don't want you to take my word for it. God shares His mind about how we work. Listen. In this same Psalms 34, David writes, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That means a remorseful, penitent spirit. That means you've realized, hey, I've done something, or I'm not where I need to be, or I need to make a change. That's who God saves. Why is it that that's who God saves? Because that's the person that's opening themselves to God, right? Isaiah 66, verse 2, God says, "For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." Listen, you know what God's saying in the first part of this? He's saying, I am the God speaking that has made every single thing that you see. I am the God above all things, the one and only true living God, the creator of this earth, the sustainer of this earth. You would think a God that big, how can He be personal? But listen to the end of this verse. He says, "But to this man I will look." That means God said He'll turn towards you, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. Have you ever been at that spot in life where you're bad experienced? Caused you to feel like you just didn't have anything? You felt poor. You're at that place where you had that contrite spirit. You were open. You weren't in God's face saying, "Why does this happen?" You were kneeling before Him, saying, "God, I probably deserve this to happen." You were trembling at His words, meaning, "Please show me something. Tell me something." You see, there are more decisions made to come to God, come back to God, come closer to God when someone's going through a bad experience rather than a good experience. Why? Because that's when a lot of soul searching happens. We use that word soul searching, right? You've heard it before. What is soul searching? That's when you stop looking out at the problem and you start looking in. That's when we begin to hear God. Sometimes we go through a bad experience and we immediately begin to think, God's punishing me. God's punishing me. Have you ever went through this bad experience and that thought, Christian, has passed your mind, God's punishing me? Has it happened to you? Bear witness of it, has it? I'm not here to say he's not. The Bible says God disciplines us. You say, well, I don't want to think about it as God disciplining me because that means that it's not going to be for good. Oh, no, no. God's discipline is for good. This is what Hebrews 12 says. Hebrews 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, bad experience, despising the shame, bad experience. Listen, think about Jesus himself. There had to be some really bad experiences in Jesus' life, but was God making it for good? Yes. Consider him. Look at him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Use him as your example. When we read Hebrews 12, the rest of it, we learn that sometimes our bad experiences are a result of God's discipline. But that passage tells us that God disciplines who he loves. It tells us he's a father that loves us so lovingly. Does he try to get our attention? Now, parent, are there some times with your child that you need to discipline them to get their attention? Don't leave me up here by myself. Is it wrong to discipline them? Well, the Bible says if you love them, you're trying to train them. You're trying to protect them from something bad happening. So if you love them, the Bible says you're disciplining them. You're getting their attention. You're putting something in their mind. But I love this. I love this that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, listen, for they verily, for a few days, talking about our earthly fathers, they chastened us or disciplined after their own pleasure. But he, talking about God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know what he's saying? Any of this disciplining, this bad experience is for your profit. God's saying it's for your profit. And he doesn't stop. He states the obvious. He says, now no discipline or chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Can we relate to that? When I was getting disciplined as a child, which happened every day, because that's what was needed, I understand now. But at the time, it was not joyous. But the Bible says, never seems joyous. The bad experience doesn't seem joyous. But, listen, seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is God doing? He's giving you the bad experience because there's going to be fruit that comes out of it. The same kind of fruit that came out of Joseph's bad experience. The same kind of fruit that came out of Moses' bad experience. The same kind of fruit that came out of David's bad experience. Why do we think our 6-month bad experience is different? You say, well, do you think it's punishment? Well, it should be. I know I'm guilty of it. Why shouldn't I deserve something happen? Turn my back on God before, have you? What about our nation going through this unrest? Well, it's clear they've turned their back on God. You take His name and you stop reverencing His name. You stand against His principles. You say that you care about all lives, but yet you're killing millions of them every year before they're even born. You're not caring about lives. When you start lying like that, you deserve something to get your attention. So this bad time, what is it? Well, it's the same thing as it was in all these stories. Don't you know that God uses bad experiences to prepare us? What do you mean, prepare us? There's 4 reasons that God will have a bad experience happen to you. Number 1, to get your attention so that you'll come to God. I can tell you and give you hundreds of examples that there's been very few times, and that would be with just children that came under conviction, but for adults, very few times that there hasn't been some kind of bad experience that turned somebody's heart to where they came in and said, Pastor, I'm lost. I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That bad experience brought them there because they began to either think about life and death in a way they haven't before, or they experienced loss, or they began to see the world in a whole new way. But God spoke to them. Why? Get this, because they had a broken and contrite heart, and He ministered to them during that bad experience, and they came to God. That's number 1. That's what a bad experience will do. It'll make you come to God. Well, what's number 2? Number 2 is what happens to Christians that fall away. A bad experience will cause you to come back to God. You see, to come to God is to realize you're lost and you're separated from God. To accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing that you've sinned against God, but Jesus died to forgive your sin and He loves you, and you can accept His sacrifice to cover your sin. That's how you come to God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But once you come to God and you start drifting away and you start being motivated just toward those good experiences in life, you know, this happens when we're young. Young Christians, you look at the statistics of people that were raised in church and then they get away from God. Why? Because they're looking for some other good experience, right? Something that satisfies our senses. Something that feels good. Something that smells good. Something that looks good. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. You say, yeah, young people do it. All of us do it. And what does it do? It makes us drift away from God. We get our eyes off of God. We turn around, and before long, we're those same people going through the wilderness complaining in the bad situation, aren't we? We're not trusting God anymore. The same God that brought us through the Red Sea, same God that gave us manna, same God that supplied everything, all of a sudden we've turned away from Him. What does He have to do? He has to get your attention. And that's when Christians come back to God. Anybody in here ever had that bad experience cause them to rededicate their life to God? Glory to God. Hey, then I would say, what a praise for the bad experience, wouldn't you? Did God mean good out of that to get you back? And then number 3, the bad experience can cause somebody that's close to God to even come closer. You say, Pastor, I don't think there's anything in this sermon for me because I'm already saved and I feel like I'm close to God. You're not as close as you need to be. There's been times when I felt like I was close to God, and I went through this experience, and I found myself on my face crying out to God, just close to God. Why? Because all of a sudden, I was in this small place. I was in distress, and only God could enlarge me. Amen? Like David said at that time. I was pouring my heart out to Him. A bad experience can cause you to come to God, come back to God, come closer to God. Now listen, number four, can cause you to lead somebody else to God. What did Joseph say? God meant it for good to save other people. What did Moses do? God used his 40-year bad experience to lead other people. What did David say? That God may see me, or that they may see me and praise for the way that I'm handling my bad situation. Do you realize your bad situation, your bad experience, may be to help you lead somebody else? I had a great conversation this week. One of my buddies, he's 80 years old, 81. He lost his wife some years back. I was working on the sermon. We were talking about things. And he said, you know, he said, I just wish I could tell some people. So tell some men how to appreciate their wives. He said, I love my wife. If they got their wife there to love, be able to say something to her, be able just to come and make her feel good, pat her on the backside. You say, oh, that's inappropriate. No, that's what you can do to your wife. Why? You're giving her value. You're making her feel good. I'm not talking about a bad thing. I'm saying, if I still had my wife, he said, if I still had my wife, he said, you don't understand. My bad experience has made me come to knowledge of saying, I need to tell men this is what they need to do while they've got their wife. You get what I'm saying? He's using it to lead other people. What bad experience have you went through? Are you going through? We know we're all going through one. Do you think God's not working in your bad experience? Sure He is. He's God. Maybe we just had to get to a place to where we got that broken and contrite heart. Why? Because I'm being punished? Because God either wants you to come to Him, come back to Him, come closer to Him, or lead somebody else to Him. There's good in the bad experience. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. This is not a motivational speech. It's not this positive mindset thinking from just Johnny Sunshine that wants to just let you think there's nothing bad going on. No, I want you to realize the bad situation, but realize that God knows we're going through it and He's working good. Amen. And if you've experienced that loss, then you need to help somebody else. That's experienced loss. If you've experienced relationship troubles, you need to help somebody else that's experienced it. Why? It's experience you've gained. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to help somebody else. Why? Because you gained that experience. And when they're going through that experience, God needs to use you for good. That might be why they're going through it. Consider how God works. You see, we don't see it. We can't see a minute past our situation. But there's not a situation in our lives that God doesn't have control over. Not one. God is sovereign. And He is not out to do bad. It is His will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. It is His will that we would grow close to Him, that we walk with Him, that we're in fellowship with Him. It's God's will, ultimately, for us not to just live in the experience of the temporary world, but to experience eternal security. God wants you to experience Him right now in your everyday walk with Him. Amen? And He wants you to experience eternal satisfaction. What do you mean? A place with no heartache, a place with no hurting, a place with no physical problem, a place with no dilemma, a place of all praise, a place with no bad situation, a place with no money, a place of peace. Eternal experience. Paul said, for if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, I have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this life we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with that which is from above. You know what Paul was saying? I expect to have bad experiences here in this physical body, in this physical mind. But I'm looking for that eternal experience. And if I have to go through bad experiences here in order for me to come to God, which he did, blindness, in order to come back to God, in order to come closer to God, or in order to bring somebody else to God, then I'll find the good in the bad experience. Are you here today and need to come to God? Maybe you're listening and you need to come to God. God loves you. He's been watching your life and orchestrating your life since you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and He wants you to experience fellowship with Him right now and eternal fellowship with Him. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you because you couldn't die for yourself and you couldn't live for yourself. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a sacrificial death so that you and I would have a chance to say today, Lord Jesus Christ, I can't save myself. I am lost. I'm a sinner. I want to use your sacrifice to cover my sins. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. If you're willing to pray that today, confess to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to come into your heart today, no matter what experience you have went through, you will experience God. Maybe you've done that. You drifted away. You've been going through a bad experience. Maybe God just needs you to come back. Not maybe. God does need you to come back. Maybe He just needs you to come closer. Maybe He needs you to lead somebody else to Him. Where do you find yourself today? Stand with me. Father God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word today. I thank you, Lord, for Joseph's bad situation, for his bad experience. I thank you for Moses' bad experience. I thank you for David's bad experience. I thank you for Jesus' bad experience. I see the good that came out. I pray, God, today that Lord, whatever is going on, even if it's this time we live in, you're using it, Lord, to soften our heart because we know you can speak to a broken and contrite heart. I pray, God, that decisions are made. If there's someone here today that's never accepted your Son Jesus as Savior, Lord, let them not wait another minute. I pray, God, that you would stir their heart in the middle of their bad situation. I pray, God, for those here today, Lord, that may have drifted away as they rededicate their life to you. Lord, bring that good out of their bad situation. I pray, God, today for those here, Lord, that can just draw closer to you, that, Lord, you would have that close fellowship with them through that bad situation. And, God, let us all leave here today inspired by your word. with our eyes open, with a new perspective to know that these things are happening so that we can lead others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.